On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I'm in my fifth week, nearly at the end of my fifth week of teaching on God wants you well. And I tell you, that is a powerful, powerful truth. I've been playing a lot of DVDs showing testimonies of this. I've taught on this. We've put together a special package of material that all of this is designed to just bring you to a new level of faith so that you can begin to start receiving God's healing. I believe that because of these programs, there are going to be thousands and thousands of people all over the world who experience miraculous healings. You know, if you have taken these truths and prayed and already seen something happen, I'd encourage you to call in and let our people know about how this program is blessing people. You know, in a way, this is a one-way communication, and unless you respond back, we don't really know the effectiveness. I know in my heart, I believe that people's lives are being changed, but it would really bless us to hear the positive reports. And so I encourage you to do that. I started sharing this week out of Romans chapter 3, verse 27, a scripture that says that there is a law of faith. And I've been talking about how most people think that God just chooses to heal people kind of on a whim. People aren't really clear about exactly what it takes, but it's just really up to God. And to prove that that's what people think, if you don't get the right results, if you pray and don't see healing, then people get mad at God and they get offended. Like, God, you could have healed this person. I couldn't tell you. I have, you know, as a minister, I have dealt with a lot of people who've been dying and families of people who have died. And I would say that it is inevitable, invariable. Every time a person dies, somebody will say, why didn't God heal them? God is God. He could have healed them if he wanted to. And I don't believe that that's true. God established laws that govern how healing work, and he can't violate. He will not violate the laws. And I'm going to get into this in more detail, but let me just say here, one of the laws, and I'll explain this in much more detail as we go through the series, but one of the laws is that you have what you say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And people just choose to ignore this law or say, oh, I don't think that's important. And so they just ignore it. And yet people will sit there and say, how are you? And say, oh, I'm dying. I believe I'm going to die. The doctor says, I've only got a week left. It's pitiful. And you cry and you use your words and you release death. And then when the person dies, people come up and say, well, God could have healed them if he wanted to. No, there are laws that govern how things work. And if you sit there and speak negative and speak your fears and release your doubt with your words, it short circuits the power of God. And God cannot just heal a person in spite of how they talk, in spite of what they believe, in spite of how they act. There are sometimes that people have sown to the flesh for what they've got. I had a woman come right here to our Bible college. And this woman had COPD, emphysema, a number of different things. And the woman had oxygen on and could barely breathe. And she came and asked me to pray for her. And the doctor said she just had a very short period of time, days or weeks to live. And did you know, as I started to pray for her, I smelt cigarette smoke on this woman. Now, I don't believe that God punishes you and gives you COPD and emphysema because of cigarette smoking. I don't believe that God refuses to heal a person who smokes cigarettes. I believe that God loves them. You don't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. You'll smell like you've been there, but you don't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. I don't believe God is mad at you and withholds things, but there is a natural law. Smoking is bad for you. And if you have COPD, if you have emphysema, if you have bronchitis or whatever, it's just compounded and made 100 times worse by your smoking. Matter of fact, your smoking is how this got an inroad into your life. And so when I felt, smelled that this woman had been smoking, I asked her, I said, so are you still smoking? And she said, yes. And you could tell she was disappointed. She'd been told not to do it. And she says, but I just can't get rid of it. And I said, you know what? What is the point in me praying for your healing if you're going to just smoke. It's like I'm running the devil out the front door and chasing him out, but you got the side windows, the back door, everything else is open, and you're just going to take another cigarette and smoke and cause this problem. Even if you got instantly, miraculously healed, you're going to smoke and let this thing come right back in 7 times worse than it was before. And I said, before I can pray for your healing with any confidence and authority, we need to pray and get you over smoking. And so I prayed with her first and prayed that she'd get delivered and get enough stamina to be able to stand against that smoking and stop it. See, the point I'm making is that God can't just, I just don't believe that God can come in and heal a person like that when they have spent 20, 30 years doing something that you know this is where it's going to lead you. You know that this is the result. Now, the Lord could, yes, heal them if they're willing to repent and stop doing what they've done. You know, if you beat your head against a wall and you get a headache, if I was going to pray with you, I'd first of all say, well, let's ask God to forgive you for being so stupid, to just beat your head against the wall. Let's repent of it and stop. And if you truly repent and turn from that, well, then, yeah, I believe that God can heal you supernaturally. But you know what? You've been sowing for this, and there's just some natural things. There are natural laws in operation, and you are reaping what you sow. Now, I believe that God can overcome any of that. I believe that if you're overweight, yes, it's going to cause all kinds of problems. It's going to cause problems in your knees and in your joints and in your ankles. It's going to cause heart problems. It could possibly lead to sugar diabetes, and on you go. And so if you're overweight, does that mean that God won't heal you? No, that's not what I'm saying. God can heal all of those things. But I would first of all say you need to repent. You need to confess that as sin. God, forgive me for being so overweight. Forgive me for not disciplining myself. And so you humble yourself. And I said, if you'll repent, you don't have to lose all 100 pounds extra weight before you get healed. You could receive a miraculous healing. But what's the point in me praying for your miraculous healing if you're just going to turn right around and keep doing the same thing that caused this problem in the first place? You know, I've used this illustration before. If you had back pain, and the reason you had back pain is because you had 2 50-pound sacks of feed put around your waist. You know, I feed animals, and so I carry these 50-pound sacks. And I guarantee you, I can relate to this. If I had 2 50-pound feed sacks strapped to me, I can guarantee you that I would probably have back problems if I walked trying to carry all of that around. You'd have back problems. And then when you lay down and you want to roll over in bed, you got these 2 50-pound sacks of feed strapped to you, and you have to just, it's a major effort to even roll over in bed. And then if you come to me and you're sitting there, oh, my back hurts, would you please pray for me? I would pray for you, but you know, I would also just say, let's get rid of these 50-pound sacks. And I'd untie them and cause that thing to fall. Now, you probably still would have back pain because you've been carrying it around for years. But I would pray and believe God for a healing, but I would also get rid of what's causing that. And this is what I'm saying. Sometimes the reason you aren't seeing a healing is because there are laws that govern the physical realm and the spiritual realm, and you are deliberately disobeying God and not dealing with things, and you aren't going to get healed until you quit disobeying God, rebelling at Him. And you're going to have to learn to cooperate with God. I know some people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. I believe that that's true. You know, I was just talking to a pastor friend of mine that I forget all of the details, but he was having a lot of pains. He said he had been in pain for years. And the Lord spoke to him about, I forget the exact timing on this, but it was months ago, maybe a year ago or something like that, about losing 20 or 25 pounds weight. And he didn't do it. He didn't take care of it. And he went in to get his eyes checked or something, and all of a sudden they checked and found out he had high blood pressure, and there was a number of things going wrong. He didn't take any of their treatments. He just repented and says, God, you spoke to me, told me I was supposed to do this, and I didn't do it. And he started obeying God, and he's dropped about 20 pounds, and all of his pain's gone. He said he's feeling the best he's ever felt. And see, it was a two-stage thing. You don't only deal with it in the natural. It's not just losing the weight, but you've got to obey God. And God had specifically spoken to him and told him that he was supposed to lose weight, and he just chose not to do it. That opens up a door to the devil that all of your faith isn't going to stop. You know what? Faith is not a substitute for doing what God tells you to do. You need to learn to obey God. You know, here's a scripture that goes along with all that I've been saying here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." There's a lot of people that are praying for peace. But it doesn't say that peace comes by prayer. It says grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If you have wrong knowledge, you aren't going to have peace. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "The Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusts in him." Peace is related to what you think. It's related to knowledge. And there are people that are praying for peace, because here we are in a quote-unquote recession, and people are failing, people are losing their jobs, and you're asking God to give you peace and help you stand. And yet, what you need is the knowledge of God's Word. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Not according to this earth economy, not according to recession. Quit listening to all the doubt and the unbelief. We need to fill ourselves with the knowledge of God's Word that says if you give, it's going to be given unto you, Luke 6:38, that He can make all grace abound towards you, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and on. If you had the knowledge of God's Word and were dominating yourself with it, you would have peace. I don't care what's going on in the world. And yet there's people that are ignorant of God's promises. They're ignorant of the knowledge of God, and they're just wanting peace by prayer. This says grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. No knowledge, no peace. And then the next verse says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." This says all things that pertain to life and godliness. We could spend days listing what all that means, but certainly it applies to healing. Healing is something that Jesus provided for you. Healing is part of godliness. Healing is part of what Jesus appropriated for you. You need to take advantage of it. And it says that it comes through the knowledge of Him. If you are sick, you've got a knowledge problem. If we really understood the laws of healing, we would be healed. The reason we struggle is because of our ignorance of these laws. I'm not saying that to condemn any person. I'm just saying it's true that we really don't understand the kingdom of God as well as we understand this natural law, these natural things. And we need to get to where we know the things of God. And most people don't know the things of God, and that's the reason that they're sick. I'm convinced that the reason that I still struggle sometimes to see things personally, and it takes a while with myself, and the reason that I don't see every single person heal, I'm aware that they have a part to play in that. But sometimes, according to everything I can discern, there are people that are cooperating and believing, and yet they still don't see healing. And I've had some people that are very close to me die that I don't think should have died. And I'm not bitter at God, because I understand that there are laws that govern this. It's not just up to God who gets healed. It's really our ignorance that is keeping us from seeing 100% results. And so this motivates me, as I am still learning everything that I can learn, because I believe that if I understood the laws of God, what the Word of God teaches better, then I would see better results. See, this is consistent with what this verse says. It says everything that pertains unto life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. The next verse says, "Whereby are given," talking about this knowledge, "through this knowledge are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God's knowledge has given us His Word. So you could say it this way, that the Word of God has all of the knowledge of God in it. All of the laws of God that govern faith and healing are in the Word of God. And so I am still studying the Word of God day and night so that I can learn what are some of these laws that cause healing power to operate. Not only healing, but everything. I'm learning. How does the kingdom of God operate? There are laws that control it. And if I'm not getting the results, it's because I don't have the right knowledge. Some of you may struggle with this, but this really shouldn't be hard, that this world and the kingdom of God are going in opposite directions. They have opposite values. In the world, it's all self. Me, me, me. We are the me generation. I'm going to take care of me. Stab somebody else in the back. If I don't take care of myself, nobody else will. In the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite. You have to die to yourself and put God and other people first. The way up is down in God's kingdom. If you humble yourself, then God will lift you up. If you give, then it shall be given unto you. It's exactly opposite the way that the world thinks. The world thinks if you have a financial need, hoard, quit your giving. Quit doing anything. It's all about keep everything you've got. Build a dam here and just store everything up. That's the way that the world faces a recession. But man, in the kingdom of God, if you want to be blessed, become liberal. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Give and it shall be given unto you. And on all of the promises go. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are nearly opposite in every value. And sad to say, most of us have been more schooled in how the world works than how the Word works. And this ignorance of the Word and our lack of understanding and cooperating with it is what is causing many people not to receive the healing power of God. Boy, to me, that is just profound. This has answered so many questions for me. You know, let me give you another example that I remember. Don Crow, an associate of mine, we were working one time in Childress, Texas, and we were totally redoing a bathroom. We had pulled out the sink and the toilet, and there was some water on the floor, and we were getting ready to put in a new light fixture up over the sink. And, you know, I have worked with electricity, but I have nearly been killed by electricity. I've been shocked with 220 volts. I've been shocked with 110. And I've been shocked so many times that, you know, my preference would be is just not to go cut off a breaker, but to go cut the pole down out behind the house, to cut the wires, amen, make sure. I mean, I'm afraid of electricity because I've been shocked. But I will work with it when I have to. But the way I do it is I turn off all of the breakers, not only the breaker to that one switch. I'll turn off all the breakers because... Long story, but one time I turned off the breaker that caused the light to go off, started working with it, and I got electrocuted. And long story, but it was because some other circuit was grounded to that plug. So I just turn off everything as a result. And anyway, I was getting ready to install this light fixture, and I was going to go turn off the electricity, the breaker to that. And an electrician happened to walk in at the time we were doing this. He was a friend. And he says, you don't need to go turn off that breaker. And I said, but those are live wires. And he was standing in water. And he says, let me show you. And he stood in water and with live wires hooked this light up. I still don't understand. I don't know electricity well enough to do that. I'm not encouraging you to do that. But I'm saying a person who knows what they're doing, electricity is governed by laws. See, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that electricity is just weird and that regardless if you do everything right, you're still going to get electrocuted. I don't trust it. But if you really understand it, you could even be standing in water and deal with live wires if you know what you're doing. There are laws. There are reasons why electricity does what it does. Likewise, there are laws that govern how God flows, how His power flows, how healing flows. I wouldn't encourage people to sit there and do some of the things that I do because they don't know the Word the way that I do. And because of it, man, it could wind up getting them killed. But if you know what you're doing, if you know what the Word of God says, you can sit there and stand on the Word of God and you can see healing come to pass. And just because you don't have that attitude about it, doesn't mean that that's not right. It just means that there is a lack of understanding about the laws that govern the healing power of God. But what I've been trying to get across this week is basically just to get, you know, I'm going to get into some specifics on the rest of our programs about this. And I'm going to take the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, and I'm going to show you some of those individual laws and start calling them out. But I'll only have time to give four or five of the laws that govern the healing power of God. There are literally, I could probably say 100 things that I could tell you that I've learned of laws that govern whether people get healed or not, and I haven't learned them all. That's the reason I'm not seeing perfect results. So I'm still in the process of learning. I hadn't figured it all out, but I'm not even going to be able to give you but just a fraction of what I know. There is so much more. So I will be getting into some specifics, but the main point, I'm just wanting to get across this concept. If you could get this concept that God doesn't just heal one person and skip another person and heal another one, and it's based on a whim of God or an evaluation of you as to whether or not you're holy and worthy of receiving healing. If you could just totally trash that concept and get this concept that God has already generated the power, and on the inside of every born-again believer is enough power to raise the dead. The same power that was used when Jesus was raised from the dead. You have enough power. You do not need God to somehow or another come and touch you and do something. What you need to do is start learning the laws that allow you to release and use this power. This power is already there. And if I could just get you to get that concept that God has already done His part, you don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You don't have to just wait on God. God has already generated the power. Now it's up to you to take your authority and command the power of God. I know that that phraseology is offensive to a lot of people because they just have been taught so long that we can't command anything. I'm not saying that you're commanding God's power in the sense that you are bigger than God and making it happen. But just like you flip a switch on the wall and you command that electricity to come on, it's under your command. The electric company generates it. You aren't the source. You could stick a light bulb in your mouth and it'll never come off. You aren't the source of the electricity. But when the power company generates the power, they put it at your command and you have to flip the switch. In that sense, you need to get this concept that God has already placed on the inside of you this raising from the dead power, and you don't need to beg and plead God and wonder, will He do it? He's done it. Now, you need to learn what you've got to do to flip the switch. Where is the switch? How do you flip it? What happens if you turn it on and nothing happens? How do you repair a faulty circuit? How do you fix this problem? You've got to learn some things, and this is what I'm trying to do, is to share that there are laws that govern faith, that govern healing. And it's really up to you whether or not you get healed. That scares some people, but you know what? It's going to bless some of you just to find that God has given you that much power and authority. And yes, it'll make you responsible and have to put some effort into it, but it's well worth the effort. You know, I'm out of time today, but we will continue this series again tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in. Listen to our announcer as they give you some information. I have a lot of materials on this subject of healing that would be a blessing to you. So please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fourth teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled The Laws of Faith is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing. And this package that we've put together called a Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you. But you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got daily devotionals. We've got a lot of materials. It is a tremendous site. And if you really are wanting to know about healing, I tell you, it'll make a big difference. Plus, we got this brand new book. So please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st, and in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th, and in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening. Praise and Worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. A full children's ministry and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd.